Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Nahmadahu wa nashkuruhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. We praise God Almighty for everything that He has given us. We ask for His forgiveness. We ask that He bring us onto the straight path. And that we ask when we err, when we make a mistake, that He accepts our repentance and brings us back in tawbah, in full repentance to His straight path. And we bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness in the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran tells us to always look towards the future. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O you who believe, be conscious of God and plan, look to see what is going on for the tomorrow, the future. But when we look to houses of worship, and I'm not just talking about mosques, all houses of worships now, synagogues, churches, mosques, temples, in America, young people are leaving houses of worship. You know, there's a saying, the fastest growing religion is none of the religions that we think about. It's the religion of nuns. Not the nuns, the sisters who have the orphanages, the Catholic nuns. No, nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're those with no religion, but believe in God. And so we have a problem as religions, that we are losing touch with young people. And so I thought, as we are planning for tomorrow, for the future, what can we glean from our own religion in terms of analyzing the situation? And obviously, this is not going to be a study on the situation. The study should be happening in our lecture on Sundays, and further discussion and further back and forth in debates. But there are a few points that we can look at in terms of how our religion is telling us how to deal with people in general. And these young people who are leaving religion, they say they're leaving religion mainly for three reasons. Number one, they find no authenticity in houses of worship. In other words, we preach justice, but they don't find justice in the house of worship. We preach that our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was a person who really changed the status quo, but we are status quo within the houses of worship. So there is no authenticity. We tell them we have to remove ourselves from the shackles of society only to put on religious shackles onto them. And it leads me to a verse in the Quran that tells us about that. That rigidity, that making it so complicated. When the Quran says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, verse number 101. O you who have attained to faith, do not ask about matters which, if they were to be made manifest to you in terms of law, might cause you hardship. In other words, the Quran is telling us, don't ask too many questions, the answers of which will become a burden on us. We may impose something that is not a requirement by asking these types of questions over and over again. For if you should ask about them while the Quran is being revealed, they might indeed be made manifest to you as laws. In other words, you get an answer and you say, oh, that's a farida, that's a requirement, that's the law, that's shara, that's it. And then you add layers and layers of rules. And so the Quran is warning us against that. And then the following verse tells us why. Pay attention to this verse. Verse number 102, Surah Al-Ma'idah. It says, people before your time have indeed asked such questions, and in result thereof, they have come to deny the truth. They left the faith. And that is exactly what is happening today. I'm not saying that is the only reason, but I'm saying this is something to ponder upon in terms of how we are dealing with rules versus the essence of the faith. The essence of the faith is what? To believe in one God, one human family, and to do good work. That is really how simple Islam is, and Islam is known as Deen al-Fitra, that it is the religion that comes naturally to people. So our job is to keep it to come naturally to people and not to add so much onto it so it becomes complicated and then people think this is too much of a burden. But that's not to say, of course, the pillars, the salat and the siyam and the zakat and the hajj are important and are requirements. But beyond that, like when people debate what is maghrib, what is the degree of the sun over the horizon that says what is maghrib and not maghrib, and if you don't do it at that time, therefore your prayer doesn't count. All these things about what counts, what doesn't count, it is man-made, if you get what I mean. As opposed to going to what is the tradition of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that is authenticated, that is clear, that we all accept as truth. Muhammad al-Asad, who is one of our Mufassirs who gives tafsir al-Quran, he comments on these verses. He says, an illustration of this problem has been provided in the following hadith, quoted by Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira. In one of his sermons, the Prophet ﷺ said, O my people, God has ordained the pilgrimage for you, therefore perform it. Thereupon somebody asked, every year, O Apostle of God, like should we do Hajj every year? The Prophet ﷺ remained silent and the man repeated his question twice. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, had I answered yes, it would have become incumbent on you to perform the pilgrimage every year. And maybe that time was not a problem. There were a few hundred, maybe 1,000 Muslims at that time. But now we have over 1 billion. Could you imagine if this, with the wisdom of the Prophet ﷺ, not there, it becomes a burden. So we get a gist of what we mean when we say we're asking too many questions. And then Muhammad Asad concludes in saying, many of our jurists, fuqaha, have by their subjective deductions unduly widened the range of man's religious obligations, thus giving rise to the very difficulties and complications which the clear wording of the Quran had put an end to, and this has led to the abandonment by many individual Muslims, as well as by their governments, of Islamic law in its entirety. So brothers and sisters, the point is, it is not what they are saying about Islam that is the problem. It is about how we are thinking about Islam. That is the gist of whether people after us, the youth, young people, will take the baton of Islam and carry it to the next lap and the next race. So we have to ponder, what are we doing about our faith and how we approach young people? And I know a lot of young people are here for the Jummah. Alhamdulillah, we have quite a number of young people. Let me tell to the youth in the audience now that the people who love you the most are your parents, are your elders, are your guardians, And we in this mosque, as the parents, are the ones who love you the most. Nobody out there loves you more than we do. And so, for us together, whether young or old, what should we do in terms of finding the spirituality? Because young people are not finding a spiritual home in houses of worship today. What is the way to get the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah tells us in the Quran. He tells us He will respond to you when you call on Him. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And He says, call on me, I will respond to you. Who is the person that you call the most? Your best friend. What is this thing they call on these shows? The lifeline? The person you call when you are in need? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, if you want to be close to Him, call on Him. Make a dua. And if you, as a family, want to make Allah close to the family, then you, as a family, should make a dua together to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah becomes the center of our home and the center of our mosques and the center of our community and the center of our society. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran. Then we get into some issues of how we approach young people. You know, and this happens a lot. It happened to me, it happens to my sibling, it happens to my friends. Please, thank you. That every young person wants attention. That's all. They want to know that their parents and their elders are paying attention to them. They want acceptance. Not acceptance of their behavior, but just acceptance as a human being, as a person. And they want affection. Those are the three A's. Instead, they get the three C's. The three C's are, they get comparisons. Why can't you be like Yusuf who got straight A's? Why can't you be like Marwa, who just sold the company for $1 million. Why can't you be like this? Why can't you be like that? They get the comparisons all the time, and that is like doing this to them. We are pushing them away. The second C is conformity. That you want them to conform. Even though like I said at the beginning of this khutbah, what did we know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He changed the status quo. What do we learn in our high school and our colleges about great leaders? They were rebels. They were revolutionaries. So we teach all this issue about change, but then we want the kids, no, just go and study this because I want you to get a good job. I don't want you to go over there. I don't want you. Instead of following their dreams, following their aspirations, accepting them for who they are. Then the third C is we confine them. Even here in the mosques. Here, just go to this school and go to this class, and we look at the youth group as the place where we could just have them as a babysitter for our kids. As opposed to looking at our youth group, which is what it really is, as a place to produce leaders for our society. So it is the way we approach our mosque, the way we approach the Quran, is the Quran going to be a source of ideological compulsion, or will it be the resource for liberation? It has to be that resource for liberation and for allowing our young people to dream, to be accepted, to have our attention, and to have our affection. Insha'Allah. Udu Rabbakum. Alhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. We only need to look to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the sunnah for this. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam empowered, entrusted young people. Sometimes he was criticized for that, but he continued entrusting them. He entrusted people like Zayd ibn Thabit, who wanted to join the army at the age of 13, and the Prophet and his companions, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions said, "No, you go and learn other languages, and you become an expert in that." He became the scribe and the interpreter of the Muslims. This was at the age of 13. Now you, unfortunately, in Muslim majority countries, people are sent to war at the age of 10. They go and blow themselves up for criminals. But the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was entrusting people with what they could do and become great at, to make them live and to be living examples of what Islam is. The Prophet ﷺ entrusted Mus'ab ibn Umair, who became the ambassador of Islam to Yathrib, Medina, at that time. And he was in his late teens. Usama ibn Zayd was entrusted to be the leader of the army at the age of around 20. So this Islamic culture of entrusting and encouraging young people starts with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must emulate that and instill that Islamic culture in our Islamic center. And the last thing I want to say, brothers and sisters, remember the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that when we make a dua to Him, He will respond to us. That is when we are closest and He is closest to us. So He tells us about one dua. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرْيَةَ الْعَيُّنِ. O our sustainer, grant that our spouses and our offspring be a joy to our eyes. This dua alone is giving us attention, giving us acceptance, and giving us affection. That is the dua that we should have every time we look at a young person and we look to our families and we encourage them to be leaders for our mosques, to create a space for them, and to be leaders for society. And to the young people in this gathering, you have a space in this mosque. I know it because I was raised in this mosque. You have a place in this mosque. You're entrusted in this mosque. But don't have any sense of entitlement. There is no entitlement in Islam. You earn by working. Leadership is not preached. Leadership is done by taking responsibility. That is the philosophy of our Islamic center. And I encourage everyone to find young people and tell them to come to our Muslim youth group, because next week, inshallah, a week from Sunday, is going to be the Muslim youth group launch day. We had a great program last year. Inshallah, we will have a greater program this year, and this mosque will continue to produce leaders in Los Angeles, in New York, in Geneva, and throughout the world, inshallah. Oh Allah, thank you for bringing us on this gathering of Jum'ah, and thank you for giving us the religion of Islam. And we ask you to strengthen our youth to be the leaders of our great religion. And we ask you to inculcate our masjid and our mosque to be a place of love and affection and acceptance. And we ask you to create mercy between our hearts, so we treat each other with mercy and we practice together mercy as we stand together firmly against any injustice, and we stand for justice in your name, inshallah. And we ask for forgiveness for those who have passed away and for those who are living. And we ask you to heal those who are sick. And we ask you to strengthen those who are healthy. And we ask you to give us the vision and to give us the strength and to give us the means to listen to your words so that we can apply them in our society, inshallah, through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salat. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar.